We're live.
All right, good afternoon. Thank you everyone for joining. This is the September board meeting rescheduled from earlier in the month. We have a number of items on the agenda today, so let's dive in. Are we recording? Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep.
We are recording. Okay. So I will call this meeting to order. It is 4:04 p.m. Let's start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
Oh, it's over there.
To be back there. Oh, yeah. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States
of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible.
Okay. I don't believe we have any public comments. Val, if we do, can you unmute and let us know? I don't think we've received any. Okay. Okay, so we will move to the standard order of business. Approval of prior minutes. Joel, as of earlier today, was still gathering the minutes, so we will approve, I think, a package of them at the next meeting, and then we'll be more timely going forward. So we will skip that item. Head of school report. Okay. Excellent. Out of state travel, we have a number of items. Do we have one concise list of all of them?
I do it.
Okay, I think, does that include, so Ashley added.
Sure.
Okay. So, all right, I'm going to try to find these. So, go ahead.
So, I got November 20th for the Reading Terminal Market in Philadelphia. The high school food studies will go for. Specifically the history and power students. October 17th and 18th, there's a grant writing conference at King of Prussia, Pennsylvania, with Jackie McCutcheon, Jeff Koss, and Debbie Wishnow.
And we also have a sixth grade field trip to Lincoln Financial Field on the 22nd and 23rd. We have Dr. Lukaku and two students and a parent chaperone to New York City for the 9/11 memorial. On the 2nd, up and back same day, and then Mr. Pappas to Florida for a conference from October 14th to the 17th. And then the high school physics and AP physics students to King of Prussia on, this is a out there date, it's in December, December 9th. I think that is the list. Does it sound like we're missing anything? We have everything? Okay. Do we have a motion to approve the out-of-state travel request?
I move we approve the travel request as presented.
We have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor? Or any discussion, sorry. Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, that passes. Okay, we will go to the Greek program report. Do we have anything for today? Okay, no worries. Okay. And if anyone's wondering, we have a substantive document that the board's been reviewing for the charter renewal, which is why we're a little bit lighter on the monthly reports this month. Monthly financial review.
So I have the monthly web report that I can pull up real quick.
Do you want to walk? Do you want to just come to a mic so they can hear you? Okay.
Sure.
Thanks.
I guess one more touch. So you should be able to see the monthly web report for August 31st, 2024, which still includes our preloads from July. Still won't expect local funds until September on a preload and a final probably in October. Once the unit count has been completed, that's when we'll also see the federal funds start to come in. But we're pretty much where we would expect to be at this point during the year.
Anything on the expenditure side that you pull out, or is that as expected as well?
As expected, we talked about it during the July one. We had $1.8 or $1.9 million payment to SCG on the turf fields, of which we've gotten the draw from the capital fund in August. So that transaction from a cash flow standpoint is net zero. And we continue to progress along.
Okay. Any questions for Jeff on the monthly financials? We have a motion.
I move we accept the monthly financials for August as presented.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay. Monthly financials are approved. Committee reports, rather than read through them all, there are a number here. Are there any committees that have reports?
When does the financial committee start meeting?
Usually we do that as we rest through today, September 30th, count, kind of a better idea of what that means budgetarily. So probably in October, November.
Okay. The Citizens Oversight Board is what I was thinking of.
Oh, the CDO.
Meeting tonight.
Yeah.
After this, 5:30.
So they'll report next month on this month. Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
Yeah, this is the first month back from summer hiatus.
Got it. Okay. I don't think we have any other. What? Yes.
This Wednesday is going to be every Wednesday, the first Wednesday will be at finals.
Okay.
Well,
if anyone couldn't hear, the grief program committee will start meeting this Wednesday at 5 o'clock, and we'll meet every month on the first Wednesday of the month on Teams at 5 p.m. So this, right. Okay. So you'll see emails out today. This is for the entirety of the Greek program. So FLESS immersion and beyond that. So please join us. Any other committee reports? Okay. All right. That moves us to new business. Thank you. Do we want to do the audit report first? So the auditors go. Okay. All right. So we're gonna review and approve or discuss the audit first, and then we'll move to the charter renewal. Jeff or anyone else commentary?
Sure. Sure.
At this point, Tim Sawyer from Partner for Mark and Gordon has completed the audit and the compilation of the financial statements. And I'm going to kick it to Tim to kind of provide an overview of what that looked like for this year. And I can provide any color where it makes sense.
Okay.
Tim, well, all yours.
Thanks for joining us, Tim.
Okay. Jeff? Yeah.
Tim, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yep.
Okay. Can everybody see my screen? Projecting so you can see the presentation.
There we go.
Thanks.
Okay. Okay.
Screen now.
Okay, great. Okay, so we'll dive into the audit. So with the audit, okay, so normally we do the field work up front, and that was completed in a combination of on-site and remote work. And we finished basically our field work on August 18th. After we finish our field work, a couple of things happen. We need 5 reports from the state of Delaware, which are the pension and other post-employment benefit evaluation reports, as well as the contribution reports for both the pension and the other post-employment benefits, and as well as they do a cash memorandum or a confirmation of cash balances as of June 30th at the state level, just to make sure that all the different state entities, they have enough cash to cover what they've reported as your appropriations for cash. Once those are, we get all those basically, and especially the pension and other post-employment benefit contributions and the valuation reports, we do the calculations to record those liabilities. The state was late in getting us those. Normally we have them like the end of August. We got them like mid-September. So we've been working through those calculations to get the draft statements out to everybody. Just to let you know, we have talked to the state. They are aware of that. And as far as DOE goes with your charter renewal, we're aware that you will not be dinged for the late reports because the state held us up in getting the final calculations and all the reports finalized. But with that aside, we are going to issue unmodified or clean audit opinions on your opinion units, which are the governmental activities. That's your government-wide financial statements, which are on the full accrual basis. And then each major fund, which are on the modified accrual basis, meaning just they don't have on the balance sheet, there's no assets or debt on the balance sheets there. As far as the actual audit goes, we test your internal controls surrounding the processing of your transactions for cash receipts, cash disbursements, and payroll, make sure they're designed and operating effectively. This year, we looked at expender transactions at a deeper level with the sample. We noted no issues with the sample we selected. And then, of course, we do help with the preparation of the financial statements, as well as making some adjustments to your reports that you see on a monthly basis, which are on the cash basis, to the modified accrual and full accrual basis. Kind of looking at that just to give you some numbers comparing 2024 and 2023. Your cash, pooled cash and investments, we're at almost $17 million compared to 9.8. A big portion of that increase was due to the debt refinancing and the new cash drawn down for your capital projects. Represented about $10 million of your cash on hand at the end of the year. Your capital assets net of depreciation went up from about 36 to 36.3. Accrued salaries and related costs, which are basically your summer pays to your teachers, are about the same at $1 million. And then if we look at your subscription, lease, loans, and bonds payable, in total, there were $34 million last year. And then, of course, with the refi and the new money taken out, you're at $43.5 million at the end of the year. If we look at the fund balance, which is, this is more kind of what you see on a monthly basis. So this is accumulated. So you had some restricted, which was for debt service, but with the refinancing that went away. But now you have restricted for capital projects, which was that $10 million in cash I had mentioned earlier. Under the old bond agreements, which are now gone, there was a repair and maintenance fund that had to be set up, and that had the 445, so that was the restricted in the year before. And then your unassigned, which is available for any purposes in operating the school, went up from $6.46 million to $7 million this year. So overall, your fund balance went from 9.8 up to $17.1 million. Just to point out the pension and other post-employment benefit or OPEB liabilities, because with these calculations, they tend to bounce all over the place depending on several factors, including the market. So you can see that the pension liability went from $7.6 million up to $9.7 this past year, and OPEB went from $45.6 up to almost $49.5 million. And we just point these out because they do sit on the statement of financial position. They do throw you into a deficit balance, but if you kind of took these items out, you would be in the positive. And these are liabilities that the state will end up paying. You just have to, according to the accounting standards, as a component unit of the state, pick up your share of the liability. The financial performance framework, we run over these real quick just to kind of give you a heads up if there's any areas. I've kind of talked with these to Jeff, because I know he does them on a cash basis as well as we do them on the accrual basis. And you're pretty much meeting your standards. everywhere with the exception of one, which we've talked through, and we think we're good with any explanations there that the state may require. And then just a summary of our required communications, just talking to you about the report here is part of it, and we've issued the unmodified opinions, as I mentioned before. There were no new accounting policies this year. Last couple of years, we've had some new accounting standards that went into effect. This year, there were none. And we're also not aware of any significant accounting policies that the school uses that would be controversial or lack authoritative guidance. No uncorrected misstatements or misstatements identified in the audit balances, no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in your internal controls. And then the best one is the second one on this point. On this page here is the fraud and illegal acts, and I'm happy to tell you that based on our audit work that we are not aware of any fraud or illegal acts at the school. That's kind of the quick overview of the presentation. Like I mentioned, unmodified or clean audit opinion. So your financial statements, you present fairly the financial position of the school. So if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to address them.
Thanks, Tim. Questions for Tim? Okay, Jeff, you had written earlier today, you just want to speak to the reclass that you wanted to do.
Yeah, and so typically, Tim and his crew were heroically able to get a draft to us last Wednesday, which I posed a couple of questions that we normally go back and forth with on Friday. And to that, they'll be able to give me some information tomorrow or so. And I alluded to it's usually semantical as far as the bottom line goes. It's usually recodes or reclassifications within the revenue or expense account, something that they had coded as federal, it's really the local grant or something along those lines. Usually we go back and forth on that. And so that's what we still intend to do for the final version. And I think Tim already corrected one of the items we looked at, which was reclassifying the repair and maintenance fund as now a capital projects fund because we're making all new stuff. That's pretty much going to be it on my end. So I don't anticipate, by the result of any of those reclassifications, any changes to the fund balance or net positions of anything as far as like the grander picture of the financial statements go. It's just more the classification of revenues and expenses and which bucket they fall in.
So the ask would be for the board to approve the submission of the draft budget with the minor edits coming out of the next day or two of work between you and him.
Yeah.
Okay. I know a couple of people had some questions about that. Eva, does that make sense? Or other board members, are we comfortable with moving forward with an approval of the draft with that caveat?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions for Jeff or anyone on the draft? Do we have a motion to approve?
I move we approve the audit as presented with as a draft with the projected changes coming and make it ready for submission. Is that right?
We approve to submit the draft.
To submit the draft.
Edits.
Thank you.
Sure. We have a second?
A second.
Okay. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? And any abstentions? Okay. Thank you. Jeff, just let us know if there's anything that comes up.
For sure.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it.
And if anybody does have any questions, just let Jeff know.
Okay, so I think that brings us to our major item today, which is the review and approval of the charter renewal application. Lias, do you want to just give an overview of what it is we're doing?
Absolutely.
You might want to come to Mike. Thanks.
Just excuse me.
Okay, welcome everybody.
So the charter renewal application is a process that you go through to reauthorize your charter. That can either happen in increments of conditional 1 year, conditional 3 year, 5 years, 5 year conditional, 10 year conditional. In order to be eligible for a 10-year, you'd have to be first eligible for a 5-year. You'd have to see improvement within the 5 years and more organizational stability in order to be eligible for a 10-year. Odyssey was eligible for a 10-year this year, and that put us in a position to really make a strong case for ourselves. And in doing so, we prepared a document that was worked on collaboratively by a lot of people that are in this room. And I would be remiss to not take a moment to thank all of the people that are here before us and those that are online or not even with us today. This truly was a completely collaborative effort to get to the finish line. And it required a tremendous amount of a lift for the organization. The organization is in a different position than it was the last time it went through a renewal. And as a result of that, we have a lot more capacity. Our data analysis is different. The way that we operate as a whole is different. And so we are able to provide something that is quite frankly, a very comprehensive document. I mean, timing is epic, right? Epic timing depicted right this part over here. Epic timing. All right. So anyway, in doing this document, we didn't just use it as an opportunity to advocate for a charter renewal. We used it as an opportunity to be able to concisely and permanently memorialize what is Odyssey Charter School. And so in doing so, what you may have seen, even if you've had a chance to read it, or if you are not reading it yet, or you're gonna be reading it in the future, is you're looking at a document that transcends any one person that's sitting in this room. It allows for us to be able to operate the organization with whomever's in whatever positions moving forward. For example, one of the areas you would be able to open up and you'd see the entire curriculum of the school hyperlinked, every single class hyperlinked in there. That in and of itself, you can imagine what kind of lift that is. It's thousands and thousands of thousands of pages being put together and then reconstructed and organized in a fashion that has never been done by our organization ever. I don't say this with any hubris, but I absolutely believe that this is the best document that has ever been put forward in the state for a renewal. I feel very strongly about that. This is a very thorough analysis of the program at our school. It's vetted. It's gone through a lot of different cycles. And so it is a true representation of where our school is. To provide some highlights on it, and there are, you know, a lot of areas where I could provide some highlights, but some high level things that we could talk about generally, and I'll just share the document out for a moment so we can just see a couple specific areas that I want to focus on. It'll probably be mostly about some of the data derivatives that we came up with. Overall, the challenge in doing the document this time around was that we had COVID in the middle of a 5-year renewal. And so it made any analysis you had before that irrelevant to the world that you moved into afterwards. There was no real basis for comparison. And so we had to try to build a narrative around what the world is in that we live in now within the context of the 5-year charter renewal. And so this first document tells you a little bit about how our school has been performing compared to the state in all these different categories and all these different grade levels. And what you can generally see as a trend is that generally speaking in ELA, we hover between 25 and 35% improved metrics compared to the state. And being a mathematics focused school, it shouldn't be surprising that our mathematics scores start at 30% and go well over 50% in terms of how well we do compared to the state, which aligns really well with the mission and vision. I think what's important to underscore as part of the analysis of this, and that's captured in the narrative a lot, is that during that time, the school also increased several components that make even predicting forward a measurable outcome quite difficult to do. And in those components, what I'm talking about is if you have a 30% shift in the demographics of the population that you're serving, And then you have, you're adding over 25% more students overall, and you're expanding the program, and you're adding the immersion program horizontally and vertically at the same time. It does include factors that make it difficult for you to predict whether what you're doing in that moment in time is going to give you the overall outcome. And so to appropriately capture that, we took more of an approach of an average or a long period time than trying to dive into one data point here and there to create a more holistic picture. And in doing so, we have this data as we have it right now, which is good data. It's a very good place for us to be. It is not the bottom line of where we'd like to be moving forward. And I do believe that we have an action plan in place to be able to achieve fantastic results over the next 10 years as well, which I will talk about in just a few moments. But this kind of gives you a picture of where we are on that level of academics and that component. There's another component that I'd like to also share out, and I'm sorry I'm scrolling because it's this thing is a beast. Where is it now? Where's my ELL data? Should have been, there it is. Okay. So this is an indication of what the multiple language learners look like in our organization. And from 2022 to basically where we are today, you can see how the numbers have increased over time. And if you go back even more, you're looking at a numbers that are even more, you know, specific and more drastic than it is now. And what else is just, again, really important and warm to see is that our ability to be able to react and properly support multiple language learners is captured here as well. In the dark band that you see over here, you see the percentage of students that are able to meet the target. And so despite the fact that you see the number of enrollment going up almost linearly, literally, you also have our ability, despite the fact we continue to literally increase those numbers, linearly increase our impact. And that speaks to the success of a program, like what a program is looking at. So not only are we and our capacity to be able to deal with it. This is something that I feel is interesting for us as well, because in our analysis, and I think you heard it in the other report as well, the state did not provide us with the metrics that we needed in order for us to finish this narrative. And to compound that problem, we also were provided with incorrect information from previous DSSF scorecards, which we already petitioned and have asked for those to be revisited, and that still has yet to be completed. What that does, though, the reason why that's important to us is because it means that we had to internally go back and line by line analyze every single one of these items and then create projected outcomes based on that, which added another layer of complexity to what we were already trying to do, which was quite ambitious. That said, what you can see is that there's a clear capacity for the organization to handle the changing demographics that it's seeing right now. In addition to that, there's another data table that I think is also very important to note, and that is the one that talks a little bit about the impact of the immersion program, because it's not that the organization did not have this data available to them. It was more so that the in order to have valuable analysis data, you need to capture years of growth over time, and you need to be able to capture the cohorts following them over several years in order to make a narrative that's a valid numerical narrative. And so we didn't feel it was appropriate to show, you know, misrepresented information without having validity to them. And so I'm going to have to do something here, because I don't know how much farther down I have to go to find that data table. Jackie, do you remember what page it's on? That once immersion to state. There it is, finally. Okay, so once again, we captured the post-COVID immersion to state data. And the reason why we're looking at cohorts grades 3 to 5 is because cohorts grades 3 to 5 have appropriate levels of longitudinal data for us to be able to study over a 3-year period or more. And so in doing that, what you can see is our students, and this is, by the way, this isn't honors classes. This is all students that are in immersion. So I want to make sure that we're doing that and talking about that. I also want to make mention of the fact that 99% of these students are non-native Greek speakers. And I'd also like to make mention of the fact that currently our population is 70% minority. K to 12. At the time of this document, probably 60 something. But it does include 24 documentation, which has you at, Jackie, is it 65% as of last year? Yeah, 65% of the last year. So you're also looking at a population that's two-thirds minority. And within that population, you have a deviation of the state of 67% mathematics and 82% in ELA. These are absolutely remarkable numbers to look at. And it speaks to something that I also think is very important in the narrative that we were able to capture. And that is, Odyssey is a very unique immersion program. It is unlike any other one, not because it's Greek language, although that is relevant in this case. It is because it truly is a case study that captures the notion of what bilingual education is capable of doing. Because unlike other immersion, Spanish immersion or Mandarin immersion, there are no native speakers that you have within your cohorts. You're 99.5% non-native speakers. Every single speaker in there is essentially a multiple language learner. So what happens is that you're really looking at a case study of what you can do if you have very good teaching strategies for multiple language learners within an organization. And then when you look at the multiple language learner data, it shouldn't surprise you that we're able to increase with the capacity as well if we're able to do this as well. So part of what we captured in this is also this notion that we need to shift towards making sure that the practices that we're seeing that lead to these kind of outcomes become universal outcomes for our organization. And furthermore, later on in this document, we talk about that becoming a statewide initiative. Like some of the practices that we use should be statewide initiatives for all students, so all learners would be able to experience that same lift. Additionally, there are some other factors that I wanted to show you and compare to as well. And just give me a moment here while I get down to that. We talked a little bit about some of the different areas where we were looking at moving forward as an organization and what we'd like to see over the next few years. And I wanted to quickly capture that because I think it's important to also talk about, so where do we go from here piece? So the first thing that I wanted to say is that overall, the organization does have special innovations. We talked about the immersion program. We also included our K to 12 food studies program as part of our innovation as well, and the leadership model that we use as well, because all of those things speak to the larger narrative, creating a stable organization overall. And we advocate for those. And in the area where it specifically asks, well, what innovations can the state capture and use in other charters? We specifically spoke to those three. The model that we have for immersion, the model that we have for the K to 12 food studies program, and also the model that we have for the way that we structure our leadership teams. There was also another component on some of the innovations that we have with how to organize a charter conference that we included in there as well, since we were one of the ones that started that piece up as well. And so those are all captured in there as well. But overall, I need to find that question. Is it 65, Jackie? The one that I was working on earlier today with you guys? The one that was the future? It's this one, right? 65? This one, okay. So over here, this captures some of the things that we're looking at moving forward. So the following highlight, it says over here, are the goals over the next 10 years for each of the emphasized areas on the DSSF report card. For academic proficiency, we're looking at Odyssey Charter School achieving a total proficiency of 75% in ELA and 60% in mathematics by school year 34-35. Those are with a slow growth approach under the assumption that by the school year 28-29, we would stop enrolling moving forward in terms of expansion. We'd be stable and we'd only be replacing with attrition. That obviously is a much more manageable component in terms of predicting your outcome, because the attrition rate at our school hovers less than 13% district wide. So then it becomes a thing that where you can predict a lot better. To juxtapose, over every year since the school has been around and has had a high school, we've had over 50% of the students being non-matriculating students of Odyssey. And you can imagine what that must feel like and look like for an organization to then be held accountable for whatever was not taught all of these years to the students, and then flip that on a script and have all those kids graduate, which we do. We've had 100% graduation rate every year with a post-secondary path for every single child that comes through the program. Despite that being the case, we also see an inflection point in sixth grade in our organization as well, because it is one of the other areas where there's a, you know, once you finish elementary school, it's another one of those transition points. And so where your average could be 87% district-wide, in your transition from 5 to 6, it's closer to 75%. And the transition from 8 to 9, closer to 40%, 35% on some of the years that we weren't doing as well as we are now. And so that means that in a typical sixth grade class, if you have an attrition rate of 25%, and then you're also adding your new students in there, you end up with a possibility of having 30% of your sixth graders being new students with new culture to the organization. And I know that we've talked about that in the past in other board meetings about the impact of that. The fortunate thing is that we're very close to the end of all that. And so by fiscal year 2028-29, we'd have those metrics in place so that we were only looking at impacts that would then be a lot easier for us to manage as an organization. I'd say the other major assumption for us to take into account, and this is a big one, is that all of the data that we presented and project moving forward is based on the educational landscape as it sits today. Legislation can change, 800,000 different things can change, presidents change, and all that kind of stuff happens. And so we can only do what we can do with what's in front of us today. So if something were to change, you know, then obviously we would change the way that we measure these things as well. But those are the academic proficiency rates that we came up with. Academic progress, what we're looking for is over the next 10 years, at least 75% of the students in the lowest quartile and the highest quartile and all the quartiles in between will accomplish the growth metric that the DSSF scorecard wants. And that means that at least 75% of them will exhibit growth every year moving forward. And in many areas, we are pretty close to that. But we set the metric at 75% minimum. The school quality and success component, Odyssey will achieve the following proficiency levels: for on-track K-12 attendance, 95%. For proficiency in grade 8 science and biology, 50%. We believe that we can probably do better than that, even better than 50%. But there has been, I will speak to that for a moment because I think it's important to make this correlation. The test itself, what was being tested, and the trajectory of the program were not aligning. So you would be, it's almost like the SAT if you're an advanced student and you get your algebra class in ninth grade, and then you don't test on it until you're in 11th grade and you haven't seen it for 2 years. And so there's a little bit of a misalignment with that, which is causing us to not, and obviously we're trying to educate kids for their post-secondary path. We're not worried necessarily about a test score as one piece. And so now we have to strategically spend time redistributing these specific learning targets so that we can do well on these tests. So it's not that our kids aren't that proficient. It's that we haven't systematically addressed this as an important factor for the school. Proficiency in social studies, grades 7 and 11 at 50%. Again, it's the same thing. The standards don't align with what's on the test in the grade bands that you're taking them, and therefore you have a misalignment in this sense. But there is a pretty good, and would you agree, there's a pretty good toolkit now in place. I think that we should be able to see some significant, the state's done a pretty good job of being, letting us know what we need to know, and then so we can use that now to create better systems to support that. A college and career readiness score of 100%. We want all of our kids to be college ready, and that means that they have to have their graduation requirements complete. It means that they have to have a post-secondary path in place that includes college. Even if they don't go to college, it includes college with their FAFSA and CSS profiles in place. And we're going to talk a little bit about some of the other shifts that we're going to look for in a little while, but those are two of them, and I just caught a spelling error. That should have said on-track, not O-track. And the last one is on track ninth grade percentage. This is an on track to graduate for ninth grade percentage. And that we're keeping it 100% as well for the purposes of this this component. Graduation rate, it has been 100% every year. We intend for it to continue to be 100% every single year. And the progress towards ELP, we want to always hit a rate of 65% or higher on English language learner progress, which is defined as being able to go up one standard deviation from where you are year to year. While you're in the program, depending on whether you're in a six-year or three-year or a six-year goal program altogether. With that being said, we've created a pretty extensive metric overall, which to Aaron's point, we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail at another time. Today is not the day to dive into all of those things. It's a lot to digest and a lot to talk through. But those are kind of the main metrics and the main direction that we're moving on. We also included metrics in place should we fail to meet metrics, which includes a school improvement plan, action plan, which template's already attached to it. So that can be reviewed as well. And so overall, the document speaks to a very good situation that Odyssey is in, and a good future, and one that we're proud of. We're proud of the progress that was made in this organization. It's when you zoom out and you see what the organization has been able to do in a short amount of time, it's quite extraordinary. And that's a lot of it has to do a lot with the academics piece, but we shouldn't also pay attention to the fact that we had to organizationally get ourselves in a position to be able to do this, right? And so the organizational framework with respect to governance and overall organizational performance have shifted to meeting standard or exceeding standard across the board during this same time frame in this charter, which also allows us to be eligible for this 10-year renewal as well. There's been stability in the board. There's been stability in the leadership of the school. And we found out recently that our retention rate for teachers is at 94% for last year. That's pretty fantastic. So overall, you know, the organization is feeling pretty good about the direction that it's moving. And there's a lot more, there's so much that I can talk about. And I'm sure you read it, so much that I can talk about. But I just wanted to give you some of the major highlights and where we were going with it, and what we were thinking through in the process of doing this.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thanks. That's just a question. Yeah. I like something you say that the enrollment goes up linearly. And for me as an engineer, it means that the slope is constant, that you can predict the future. So I guess you have a short 4 or 5 years that may go even higher than today, the enrollment, if you achieve whatever you want. So it's very nice. That's linearly going up. It's not exponential.
No. It's very linear. It's very slow growth. It hovers between 150 or so and 100 and 150 or so students per year.
No, I just said that because that's, for me, means linearly.
Yeah.
Constant slope. And the other thing that is very interesting to me, and I didn't know that 70% of the school is minorities. How many of them, any rough idea, do they speak any other language at home?
Well, yeah, you can see that the number of multiple language learners is approaching 500. So
at home?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if it's 500 out of 2,300, basically.
Any idea how the parents react when they tell them the Greek? Because
the indication of that would be how many kids are enrolled in the enrollment, yeah, in the immersion program, which is now almost 600 kids, almost one-fourth of the school is in immersion now. So it's clear that it's having a positive impact in that respect as well.
I see that from my classes. And the last thing that I didn't know, I was not aware of it. You said something that they get algebra in the ninth AP in the ninth grade by 12, they forgot. That's why I couldn't figure it out. I was asking my students, you had algebra, how come you don't remember anything? This solved me a mystery to me.
I can compound it for you even more. At Odyssey, you take algebra in eighth grade.
Oh my God. That's why somebody comes to me and I expect him or them to know these things from high school or AP. And they look at me and I say, what's wrong?
Yeah.
Now I start getting it. I didn't know that. Okay. Very useful information. I did it for me in my records. Okay. Thank you. I do appreciate that.
Of course.
Other questions? I mean, it was an incredible document. It was very rich, very good. So thank you. You guys did a really amazing job. But I think we've had almost a week to look at it. Anyone here, questions, comments? And we'll dig in, I think, in the next, we have a couple people who weren't able to join this time. So next month, I think we can go in detail on like more questions on the data and substance.
there's data, there's metadata, yeah, there's metadata.
Okay, then do we have a motion to approve the submission of the charter renewal application as drafted?
Yes.
Okay. Motion. Second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, we are good to submit.
Press click. Press click and forget.
All right. What else do we need? Anything for good of the school?
Yeah.
Yes.
For good of the school. We completed the Longwood submission. We also had the Longwood visit, the Longwood Foundation visit, and I must say that the organization was extraordinarily impressed with what they saw in the school and what they've seen the progress of the school since the last time they were here, which I believe was in 2014 or 13 is what they told me.
10 years ago.
Yeah. And so they were, they really couldn't conceptualize what this had turned into. They left very motivated about it. And then they sent us some follow-up questions, which the timing wasn't great because we were in the middle of writing our life's work over here. But we were able to successfully do that one as well, submit it, and provide a nice supplementary document for them to take to their board now. And we look forward to hearing back from them. Was it November? Yeah, in November, about the status of our application. I'm gonna say how much we're gonna get, not if we're gonna get.
So November is a definitive answer, or
it's a definitive answer.
It'll likely be contingent on the review process.
Sure.
That is one contingency. So even whatever they award us, it would be contingent to the successful renewal, which wouldn't be until December 22nd. On our end, they're very impressed with what we're doing.
That's great.
And we provide them with a very nice narrative for them to go to their board and advocate to the maximum amount. I understand it's a very competitive year, though. There's a lot of applications that are in there, so we had to make sure again we put the best foot forward that we possibly could for the organization. But we're really excited with the work that we created for that as well.
And the tour was very positive, with a mix of teachers, instructors, and students providing commentary on what they were doing, how they do it, what it's like, what Odyssey is like, what the learning is like.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
It was only in the second week of it.
Yeah, it was early. Mm-hmm.
That was really quite impressive. And I have to shout out all the teachers, because not only was it, on a dime, right? You're asking people, hey, we're going to bring people in to come watch you, but it's the second week of school, and we walk in, we see a Socratic seminar, and it's fantastic, right? And then you walk in, you're seeing the kindergartners, and they're, Wes is tapping me on the shoulder. He's like, how long have these guys been in session? I'm like, 1 week to the day. And it's fantastic. It's fantastic work. So very proud of the organization and all its lifts it's made. It's been a busy September at Odyssey.
Yeah, the hydroponic garden hadn't been planted yet, but they get to the immersion math, and the kids are solving and explaining all in Greek how they're doing the math. Not a couple of minutes, but like 15 minutes of actual explaining how they're doing the math.
Wonderful. That made me think of something from a renewal process standpoint, just for folks who don't know. So we're submitting it today, then what? So we hear on the 22nd, but what happens in between?
October 7th, they're going to give us the questions that'll come up in the CSAC meeting. The CSAC meeting, the first meeting with the state, would be on the 22nd. And then after that, there's a meeting following up in November. Is it?
Public hearing.
It's the public hearing. And so that could be feedback in that sense. And then you usually hear back from the public hearing with one more. When is that one again? 15 days after. Yes. Oh, yeah, it's the 21st. We said, because we were looking around Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
With a final answer coming back on the 22nd.
Got it.
And the public hearing's in Dover, isn't it?
Yeah.
They do online too, I think.
One thing we will say on that is that we, you know, a lot of us that are on this team were part of the 2021 minor modification. So we do have experience with CSAC. It's not our first rodeo with that, which also would help explain why we felt the need to be very thorough in this application process.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's always easier to answer the questions
right
before they ask.
Right. Okay. All right, we will have a brief executive session. I don't believe we expect any actions or votes. And then we'll go back to adjourn from there. But I think this concludes the regular meeting.
Before we jump to that, any update on the fields? I drove past and it looks leveled with gravel, no delays.
Today they were pouring concrete in the field play area. I think they're anticipating being to be able to roll turf out in a week.
Okay.
Or two.
It looked to be on schedule. I just wanted to double check.
It appears to be on schedule. For a permitting process, they were still waiting on the final actual pulling of the new record plan, but it had already been approved by the county. So once that's in hand, they can start curving and fencing. And on we go.
All right,
move. We go into executive session.
We have a second?
Yeah.
Second. All those in favor?
Sure.
I'm guessing no one's opposed. Okay. All right. We will go into executive. We will just come back to adjourn. There will not be any vote. Thank you, everyone, for coming, and we'll see you next month. Thanks.
Start up rooms. Quick.
Okay, right. We are back out of executive session. As discussed, there are no actions or votes. We have nothing further. Do we have a motion to adjourn? Oops, sorry. Okay, we have.
Hold on. So we're back from executive session. Nothing to vote on. No action to take.
Move to adjourn.
Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Meeting is adjourned. Thank you. We'll see you on October 16th.
See you.
All right. They can hear you.
Great. Thanks. All right. Thanks, everyone.